Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
John McClain joins us a little bit earlier today because of our interviews coming up later with Marcus Mariota and Matt LaFleur. You can talk all things with John McClain, who has covered the NFL since 1977. 615-737-1045, our number, 615-737-1045. John, I don't want to rub it in because I know you're not at training camp in West Virginia, but we are sitting in the corner of the near field here at St. Thomas Sports Park with the offense driving the football towards us. It's an incredible view. Not bad today.
There's not many views that are bad at training camp, no matter where you are, because people are so fired up to be there, and they get to see players up close and personal like you can't see them the rest of the year. Now, the media can, but not the fans. And so I know training camp in West Virginia is over today for the Texans. They resume training camp here on Saturday with workouts after they play Kansas City Thursday. So I can't wait to get over there. I ask, and I'm going to get, but the media will understand, so I don't have to worry about getting my foot stepped on or somebody patting me on the shoulder asking me how I'm doing. I'm going to get to be on the other side of the rope, so to speak.
There you go.
And I'll take a lot of grief because I'm going to get a lot of chauffeuring around in golf carts, too. But I can't wait, you know, missing these first 2 weeks has not been fun, but it's so fun because if I was there, I'd be focused on one area, one position. And as it is now, I've got Chronicle, Cron.com, Sports Radio 610, Texans website. There's so many ways for fans, whether you're Texans, Titans, to get information today when you're not there. It's not like the old days when you had newspapers and then TV reports that came on at 6 and 10.
John, Hard Knocks with the Cleveland Browns premieres tonight on HBO. And we were talking about this before, but I can't recall a year where it feels like the producers of that show almost have to decide between a bunch of good storylines and aren't just out searching for a storyline for a team. I'm intrigued to watch this season, and I haven't felt that way in a while.
Well, I'm intrigued every year, Chad. I've watched all of them from the beginning. Doesn't matter what the team is, I'm always fascinated because you get to go behind the scenes in places we never get to go. And I like that. There's always a player who emerges and a star of Hard Knocks, and then he'll disappear into oblivion, you know, once camp's over or the season begins because he gets cut. They have, even though the Browns are terrible, they have some fascinating characters on there. They've made a lot of changes. I think people want to see Baker Mayfield, Jarvis Landry, Miles Garrett, Tyrod Taylor. They've got some characters now. Whether that makes that there's less interest because they're the worst team in the league last year, I don't know. You know, you can be bad and entertaining, and if they're not going to be entertaining on the field, the least they can do is entertain us off the field.
John McClain with us. You can join him, 615-737-1045, our number. John, I'll just put the ball on the tee for you here and get your response first to Terrell Owens in his speech. That he says the sports writers are not in alignment with the mission and core values of the Hall of Fame. And he said that the writers disregarded the system, criteria, and bylaws, ultimately disregarded the true meaning of being inducted. As a longtime Hall of Fame voter, what are your thoughts?
I respect his opinion to say what he wants. I respect his opinion to not show up. It would have. Now, what anything Terrell Owens says doesn't have jack to do with squat about how we're going to do our committee. And to show you how clueless he is about our committee, it's besides sports writers, there's broadcasters, Dan Fouts, Hall of Fame quarterback, James Lofton, Hall of Fame receiver. I'd like to see T.O. and say, T.O., why were you ripping Dan Fouts and James Lofton? He wouldn't know what I was talking about. But that's his opinion. More power to him. We have people that come to Canton and they make speeches and they talk about we should right wrongs because of players who aren't in. And I always say, whoever you think should be in, who should we take out that year? And it's like people think we have this endless supply of availabilities, and we don't. We have a certain number, and we have to make decisions based on that. And I'm glad it's over. So maybe we won't have to hear about T.O. for a while. And I'm sorry he got as much attention as he did, which took away a little bit from the guys who were inducted. But I didn't see any bitterness from them. I know when I talked to Robert Brazil, talked to him again today, there was no bitterness on his part. He was so happy and had so much fun, and I was so happy for him. He asked me something. This will be of interest to you guys and your listeners. I didn't know this. He said, "You see all those fans we had?" I said, "Yeah, y'all came prepared because of the heat." And I can't remember if it's the one what Robert was using. I think it might have been the one his wife Brenda was using. And it said, thank you, Amy Adams Strunk.
Amy paid for his Hall of Fame party on Saturday night, I believe. Friday night, excuse me.
Tradition for, it was after the induction on Saturday night.
Okay.
Tradition for the owner of a team to pick up the tab. And people wondered at one point, was T.O. worried because nobody would pick up the tab? That was never an issue. Jeff Lurie, Jerry Jones, Eddie DeBartolo, they would have taken care of T.O. And yes, it was a very classy thing for her to do. And Robert was very, very appreciative of everything Amy did. He said that she's been like my sister. And he said that Amy and Brenda, his wife, talked so much, he could tell who Brenda was talking to after a while just because of the way she giggled. So Amy went above and beyond for Robert at the Hall of Fame, as she did with the Oilers reunion here. And as you guys can imagine, she is very, very, very popular in Houston.
Let's work in Ricky before the first break with John McClain. Hey, Ricky, what's up?
Hey, guys. So I'm not much of a Hall of Fame person. I really don't. Like, I don't ever watch it. I definitely wasn't going to watch it this year with Ray Lewis in it. Didn't feel like getting lectured by probably a double murderer. But I have a career comparison for John, for one of my favorite players and someone who got in this year. So subject number one, played 182 games for the first-round pick, had 1,300 tackles, 8 Pro Bowls, 4 first-team All-Pros. Subject number two, played 184 games, had 1,700 tackles, 7 Pro Bowls, and 5 first-team All-Pros, and was a fifth-round pick. Can you guess which one's in the Hall of Fame and which one isn't?
No. Enlighten me.
The first one is Brian Urlacher. He's in. The second is Zach Thomas, who's not in. Now, I can't understand why Brian Urlacher got first ballot Hall of Fame, and Zach is probably going to be like a senior inductee, and everybody's going to wonder why he didn't get in earlier.
Well, Zach's got a lot of years left on his modern era eligibility. I can tell you, a linebacker that had 8 Pro Bowls and went to the playoffs and played divisions titles, Maxie Bond of the Los Angeles Rams, and he's won every year on the seniors committee because there's so many worthy candidates. Zach gets serious consideration every year. Hopefully someday he'll be one of the finalists and he'll get in the room and have a chance to make it.
Taking your phone calls, 615-737-1045. Clay Travis will join us in 12 minutes, right at 11 o'clock. John, other than Robert Brazil, any of the speeches stand out to you? I know you were working on a story about Robert Brazil. Did you go back and watch any of the other speeches?
I did. I taped everything, and I was really impressed with Jerry Kramer because Jerry waited so long. He got to tell people about what it was like to play for Vince Lombardi and the Packers, the great dynasty from the 60s. And I think anytime somebody tells people something they don't know a whole lot about, it's very enlightening. Brian Dawkins talking about thinking about ways to kill himself. You know, that was, I guarantee you, the Philadelphia media covering that, like, whoa, wait a minute. So that's something that was very enlightening. And I really liked Randy Moss's speech. The one I thought that I didn't like was Ray Lewis, just because he was going on and on and on, and he was preaching and had his own little mic instead of standing at the podium like everybody else in history. But overall, you know, it's their only chance, a once-in-a-lifetime, for them to do it. And if T.O. been there, they might not have gotten out till midnight.
Real quick note, this is from Michael Bratton, who covers University of Tennessee. SEC Nation announces today that it will be on location for Tennessee versus West Virginia, Saturday, September 1st in Charlotte. Not a huge surprise. That's one of really probably three big SEC non-conference matchups that weekend. It's the CBS game of the week at 2:30, Tennessee and West Virginia. So SEC Nation with Tim Tebow will be on location in Charlotte for the Vols versus West Virginia.
John, I wonder if Ray Lewis just started a trend of wireless mics for Hall of Fame speeches.
Most of those guys want to do their speech, acknowledge everyone, and then get off. And I know historically, you know, the guys behind you, they want you to keep it short. They got parties to go to. A lot of them want to go to bed. A lot of them are hungry. Those speeches used to be made during the day, and you can imagine how hot it was for people. And back then, the Hall of Famers sitting on the stage with the sun shining on them, they would say, "Hey, get on with it. Let's go." You'd hear them back there cheering them on to finish their speech. So I don't know. I doubt T.O. started a trend. Who knows about Ray Lewis? There's not a whole lot of Ray Lewis's out there that I believe would use that to preach like he did.
Well, and John, you mentioned the Ray Lewis thing. It just further confirmed why I don't like Ray Lewis, watching that speech, that I was looking for something that may change my mind on Ray Lewis. But the whole spiel about his pregame dance being to honor the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, with how he moved to the left, the right, and back to the middle, I mean, it was just, some of the things he was talking about was just ridiculous.
Crime went down when he played.
Oh my gosh.
In Baltimore. What about this? He said this in an interview afterward, and I wanted to throw up, that Robert Brazil's mama said that he had lost his love for the game Robert did when he was cut. And he got it back from watching Ray play. Now, I've never heard Brazil say that. Brazil said he got it back from all the phone calls he got from people in Houston about his career and about him. And Ray Lewis is trying to take credit for it.
Let's go to the phones, and we say hello to Mike up on line one. Mike, thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Excuse me. John, I had a question. Speaking of Robert Brazil, I was watching the Hall of Fame, and my six-year-old son, you know, he brought up the fact that if the Oilers are the Titans, why isn't he going in as a Titan? You know, and he just couldn't comprehend, you know, even though I explained the history and whatnot. So it just got me thinking, do you ever foresee in the future, I don't even know if it's possible, that, you know, the Texans get back the history of the Oilers? And does the current owner of Houston even want the Oilers' history back? And, you know, do the people of Houston even talk about getting it back?
First of all, there is no way that will ever happen, because the Texans have nothing to do with the Titans and the Oilers. You know, the Oilers are Titans. They're not Texans. So wouldn't it be funny if all of a sudden Amy Adams Strunk goes, "Hey, you can have our records," and they go, "Hey, J.J., you're no longer the all-time leading sacker. Andre, you're no longer the all-time leading receiver." But no, that is never, ever, and there's no chance that will ever happen.
615-737-1045, still time to work in a phone call or two for John McClain. John, Kelvin Benjamin, I was surprised with what he said about Cam Newton, saying that he's now glad he can work with better quarterbacks. What's funny about that is, in making the transition from Carolina to Buffalo, he now goes from Newton to Josh Allen or A.J. McCarron or Nathan Peterman. I don't know how he can make a comment about Cam Newton and not consider his current setting.
I think it had really, Jonathan, nothing to do with the current quarterbacks. He's got something in for Cam Newton. And I think he caught everyone off guard. His coach, Sean McDermott, didn't like that at all and told him. And shows he's not very smart. And I'm wondering why he wanted to get that off his chest, because he had a 1,000-yard season, then he got hurt. Now Whaley gets up there and plays with Josh Allen, who's one of the most inaccurate first-round picks to come into the NFL. And he was that way high school, junior college, and college. And but it's just it stirred up the pot a little bit. I think Cam Newton did something on Cam Rivers' Twitter, Instagram, and handled it with class. But I'll guarantee you, Sean McDermott did not like that one iota.
John, Josh Allen now falls under the category for me of I'll be most surprised if he's actually any good in terms of quarterbacks in this past draft. I'm going to be shocked if it works out with him.
But he wasn't accurate. You know, Lamar Jackson wasn't real accurate either. And saying that, now he'll probably turn out to be the best. But I can't wait to see out of the quarterbacks in this group progress. You know, a year ago, we're talking about, wow, Mariota and Winston have both been really good, and they're on track to be great. Now Winston suspended to start the season. You wonder if he'll ever get it, you know, the common sense part of being a pro football player, especially a quarterback. So it takes time. I think of all these guys today, I have no clue, you know, because all of them had warts when they came out, and most of it has to do with situation, coaching, system, teammates, and if you got a good defense, that helps too. But it's going to be fun to watch them progress.
John, thank you for the time adjustment today. We appreciate that. We'll talk with you on Friday.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Yep, John McClain with us twice a week here on the Midday 180. Titans open the preseason Thursday night. No one has it covered like 104.5 The Zone. You can tune in beginning at 5 for the Lee Company countdown to kickoff. Then tune in as Mike Keith and Dave McGinnis have the call on Titans Radio. Your home of the Titans is 104.5 The Zone.